Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Friday. Eric the Tech, Friday? Does it matter? How you feeling today?
I feel all right.
Yeah. He's got a sinus infection. He doesn't complain. So anyway, the plexiglass installation goes up today, right? Or tomorrow or whenever. No, not at all. He's doing well. It's Friday, the 14th day of January, 2022. I want to start off with this. A lot of information to get into. By the way, all the links to the items we talk about can be found at the program description box at HagmanReport.com. That's HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman. Of course, yesterday, the Supreme Court issued two rulings. And this was kind of a split decision. I saw a lot of people on social networking really making, clapping noises, if you will, about the Supreme Court decision with respect to OSHA. Well, hold on. I mean, that's just one of two cases. It was really a kind of a split decision. Now, the Federalist, Margo Cleveland, I like her writing. I like her investigative skills. Put in the Federalist, it's the Supreme Court's ruling on vaccine mandates is frighteningly weak. Yeah, I'll be able to talk. Roberts and Kavanaugh both acquiesced in the Biden Department of Health and Human Services paragraph. Now, to me, I mean, both were equally important, but to me, this shows this dual mindset. And for the life of me, I understand what I read. I don't agree with it, and I don't really understand. I just don't agree with it. I guess I do understand, and Margo Cleveland does write, the adage, for example, that quick cases make milquetoast opinions. And that's a pretty interesting statement in terms of these opinions. And also, tough facts make bad law. And that's always been an axiom throughout, litigation. So what's this all about? The Supreme Court yesterday heard the OSHA and Medicare mandates. Two separate cases. National Federation of Independent Businesses versus the Department of Labor, and Biden versus Missouri. Now, the OSHA case ruled that there was a 6-3 majority ruling staying the OSHA de facto vaccine mandate in the National Federation case, and a 5-4 majority in Biden v. Missouri. And that allows the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services rule requiring vaccines for medical facility workers to take effect. So, is it me? Am I confused? Lord knows, common sense. I mean, obviously, the judicial knowledge, I don't have the brain power the Supreme Court has, right? But one would think common sense. But then again, maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe you and I, we're not intelligent enough. But let's go back to this Federalist report here. Now, the Supreme Court issued both decisions as per curiam, or by the court, unsigned opinions. And again, 6-3 majority, staying the OSHA de facto vaccine mandate, and 5-4 majority in the Biden v. Missouri. And I spoke to a couple of people today about the latter, and they're already seeing some effects about this Medicare, Medicaid services, medical facility workers. They're already seeing some blowback on this, but stand by here. Let's just continue with this, this fine report here. Justice John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh. Well, okay, Roberts and Kavanaugh. You know, cry me a river, my beer. I like beer, Kavanaugh. Siding really with the liberal facet. I don't really know. Aside from the monetary strings, how you could decide one way in one case and the other way in the other case. But hold on. So Roberts and Kavanaugh switched sides to join the court's leftist members in the Medicare-Medicaid case. Clarence Thomas, Alito, they issued separate dissents, joined by Amy Coney Barrett and Neil Gorsuch in Biden v. Missouri. Now, in the National Federation case, the six-justice majority entered a stay to prevent OSHA, or to prevent OSHA's emergency temporary standard requiring employers with 100 or more employees to either compel their employees to become jabbed or to test weekly and wear masks. Well, the court, as she rightly pointed out, and I did read the opinions, the court concluded that the employers, states, and other entities and individuals challenging the rule were likely to succeed on the merits of their claim. And this is the important part of that sentence, that the secretary lacked authority to impose the mandate. And there it is. You ain't got the authority. Now, this is 9 pages. This opinion, the majority opinion, was 9 pages long. And a lot of it was historical in nature, detailing Biden's OSHA workaround, procedural history and such. Now, after getting through all the infrastructure, setting this up, the National Federation Court then analyzed the rule at issue and concluded that the challenge to OSHA's emergency vaccine mandate was likely to succeed because the federal agency lacked authority to impose the mandate. Have you heard of the Constitution, folks? No. Pandemics, they don't trump the Constitution. So, I'm not going to read this, but I will just point a few important parts here out that the majority opinion said, well, they said administrative agencies are creatures of statute. Now, think about that sentence for a moment. Administrative agencies are creatures of statute and have only the authority that Congress has provided. Now, we're talking about cabinets, are we not, in some cases? And no, in passing the OSHA Act in 1970, Congress did not plainly authorize OSHA to order 84 million Americans to either obtain a COVID-19 vax or undergo weekly medical testing at their own expense. But here's the other side of this, and you can keep that up for a minute there. Here's the other side of this. The left, specifically, and the Biden regime and the people who are pushing this global agenda want to convey police powers to agencies such as Health and Human Services. Police powers. This is just me opining now. I would recommend that everyone reads this article because this is not something that we should be clapping about. This is a split, kind of a psychotic, if you will, or a psychic break, some sort of a psychological break in the Supreme Court, in my view. But see, the in Biden versus Missouri, Justice Roberts and Kavanaugh, now this involves federal money. So right there, the CMS, this is a federal money thing. This is federal money with strings attached. Yeah, we're gonna. You accept Medicare, Medicaid? You accept funding from the government? We're going to make sure that there are strings attached. You're going to do what we say. Remember, the borrower is always the slave to the lender, right? Or you get the idea. But the mandatory vax rule issued by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, what they didn't find was any statutory support in the governing statutes. And this is interesting in the dissent. Thomas explained, well, the Congress authorized the CMS to publish such rules and regs as may be necessary to the efficient administration of the agency's functions and to prescribe such regulations as may be necessary to carry out the administration of the insurance programs. The vax mandate has no more than a tangential connection to the management of Medicare and Medicaid. This, according to Justice Clarence Thomas. It's interesting. One of the big statements here made, and it's emboldened within the article today, however, most federal law is not made by Congress. It comes in the form of rules issued by unelected administrators. And there it is. There it is. Nothing constitutional about this. So before anyone claps and does the happy dance, this is far from over. This is not about the safety of the public at large. Not at all. This is a power grab. And when you look at, you've got to look at the bigger picture, in my view anyway. You've got to see, so what's the objective? What's your, what's the globalist objective? Is it to prevent deaths, prevent sickness? No, that has nothing to do with it. This is a power grab by unelected bureaucrats, testing the waters, testing the system, and pushing this out. And it's amazing to me how many people don't read the rulings, the issues, when they're issued, or right away hear these sound bites and think, oh, this is great. No, it's not great. It's not great. This should have been, in my view, in a perfect constitutional republic, this should have been struck down unanimously, both of them, and shut up and go away. You don't have the authority. Who grants you the authority? It's certainly not by law. This is by fiat. This is by judicial, or this is by an unelected bureaucrat edict, by the whims and wishes of these unelected bureaucrats. All right. Look, folks, this is far from over. This is absolutely far from over. Please don't think that this is a win. Now, you might say, well, it's a little win. We'll take it. We'll take what we can get. Okay. Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, enjoy, but if you must, but understand more is coming. All right. A couple of other things. I want to address a couple of things about the latest 1-6 commission committee, the arrest and indictment, or indictment and arrest of Stuart Rhodes. What's that all about? What's that all about? Let's talk about the elephants in the room and more elephants in the room. The fact that the coronavirus, the COVID-1984, that narrative is falling apart. I want to address that. The government, government data, and it, again, common sense. Where is it? Government data is saying that COVID infections and deaths are soaring after the vax, which, wait a second, again, the Supreme Court, and you remember Sotomayor, was it Sotomayor? Yeah, it was Sotomayor, saying, well, there's 100,000 children on ventilators across the United States in the hospital. Yeah, okay, what was that number again? And where are you getting your facts from? Meanwhile, Meanwhile, you've got, and this is a big thing on social media all throughout the day. You had 270 doctors. Well, no, 270 people signed this paper, and I didn't send this for the show prep, but big thing. Open letter to social media, and it was open letter to Spotify, who runs Joe Rogan's podcast. By 270 signatories, supposed to be all experts in their field and such, right? Rivaling the expertise of Dr. Robert Malone, who appeared as a guest on Joe Rogan, saying, you've got to make this stop. You can't allow this to stand. You've got to have another alternate voice here. You're going to get people killed. You know what I'm saying, right? In the Malone interview on Joe Rogan. Just apoplectic about this. But do me a favor. Take a look at the bona fides of many, if not most, of the 270 individuals. Yeah. I think one might have been a paper carrier. And again, with due respect to paper carriers, my goodness. Anyway. This people might not see coming. Steve Quayle talked about this yesterday. You ready to go to war with Russia? You ready to go to war with Russia? Yeah, because that's coming. I'm telling you right now, that is absolutely coming. And this, the Biden love affair with Iran, this is a gift that keeps on giving. Let's start with that right first, if we don't mind. Clip 3. You know, remember, pallets of cash to... where? To Iran. By who? By Barack Hussein Obama, right? Remember that? And of course, Trump coming in and saying, wait a second. And we're not going to deal with you, Iran. Biden comes in and makes nice with Iran. What result does that have? Well, remember, Trump had ridded the planet of the scourge known as Soleimani, right? In a takedown of one of the biggest orchestrators of terrorism on the planet. And Biden comes in. And again, really kind of cozies up to Iran. So what do you think that's going to do to Iran? It's going to embolden them. Well, this is what was published on a Iranian... Khomeini's website, the website of Khomeini. This is a 2-minute simulation, if you will, of what their intent is. What their intent is. You killed our leader, we're going to kill your leader. But so Biden, right? No. Oh, this is called revenge, and this is against President Trump. And I can't remember if there's an English translation in this, an overlay of English translation. If not, pay attention to your screen, and I'll try to do my best to interject the English over the Farsi. Go ahead. All right, I'll talk you through this. This is a video of President Trump and others playing golf on now. This is a picture of a remote controlled car, if you will, going for the president at his country club bar. And you've got some pretty—I don't know what you would call it—some graphics that has President Trump under surveillance by this remote control car and camera, and somebody at the center who's typing messages that will be delivered to the intended parties. Threatening messages. So they're on a golf course on the green. reading a message saying, hey, they're basically they're toast, and you've got this remote control drone car. And then the pictures shortly from above, you'll see this, as if they're going to take out President Trump and his party. That's what this is, and revenge is what they're talking about. And this is from an Iranian-sponsored website. So there's that, again, showing weakness. And anyone who could tell me about Biden's weak. So what does that mean for us internationally? Well, you've got Biden, the Biden regime, and the people propping him up, you know, the puppet masters, but you also have that neocon part too, right? You've got the warmongers, you've got the people who benefit by war, and they've been pushing a war with Russia. Remember, Russia, 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 all the time. Russia interfered with our elections. Russia hacked our servers. Russia did this. Russia hacked into Hillary's emails. It's a boogeyman, right? Well, watch this. Take a look at this. Not watch this. Take a look at this. This is from Evelyn Farkas. I'm not going to get into her background, but I found this very interesting. The U.S. must prepare for war with Russia. Okay. Now, some might say, well, you consider the source. I'll get to that in a moment. The U.S. must prepare for war against Russia over Ukraine. If Putin is not deterred from seizing another chunk of sovereign territory, he won't stop there. This, again, according to Evelyn Farkas, and that's a name that should ring many bells with many people. But she writes that Putin is more likely than not to invade Ukraine again in the coming weeks. And she speaks as someone who helped Barack Hussein, Barry Satoru, Obama manage the U.S. international response to Russia's initial invasion of Ukraine in 2014. How'd that work out for you? In our effort to keep Moscow from occupying the whole country in 2015. But she's convinced that Putin's going to be invading Ukraine. And by the looks of things over the last, 12, 14 hours, yeah, there's some movement there. And I would be very, very surprised if something didn't happen between now and Monday morning. I'm just telling you, in terms of the Russian initiative to strike the bases that are threatening Russia on the border of Ukraine. Now, I'm not pro-Russia. I'm not pro-communism. I'm just telling you how, like, it is, all right? This is kind of like Biden and NATO making all sorts of threats and threatening gestures against Putin. And everyone expecting, hey, Putin's not going to do a damn thing. Well, yeah, he is. Do you expect anything different? So what I want to convey to you is they are really itching for war. Read the article. Understand it's Evelyn Farkas who wrote it. Understand that. She was the deputy, and I say that because she was the deputy assistant secretary for defense for Russia, Ukraine, Eurasia in the Obama regime. And she was a former senior advisor to the Supreme Allied Commander of NATO. I'm just saying. This is, folks, look, this is all a setup. I'm telling you right now, you've got bare shelves Biden. You've got the worst inflation in 40 years. You've got the worst job numbers in 40 years. You've got the most oppressive economic situation since Jimmy Carter on his worst day, Biden's best day. So what? And you've got a mess at the ports. I just want to say too, the supply chain disruptions. You know, when you, big thing, the port of San Francisco, instead of clearing out the ships and helping them, no, they're sending them 50 miles offshore. So they're out of sight. And they're saying, hey, you know what? We fixed that supply chain thing.
Yeah.
It's all an illusion. Prepare for war. So if you hear it, understand that this was coming, and this is planned. Let's go to the COVID narrative. Oh, you know what? Before I do that, I do want to address another issue. People have contacted me about Stuart Rhodes. Now, I've dealt with Stuart Rhodes, known him, I've had him on the show. We've talked at conferences. We've had dinner together. Now recently, not so much. Okay. But remember, he was involved in the 1/6 Oath Keepers march to Washington, and everyone was saying, "Man, you know what? He's a Fed. There's something. There's a connection to the Feds, kind of like Ray Epps, right?" Here is Darren Beatty, I believe it is. If not, well, here's Steve Bannon. Talking about Stuart Rhodes' arrest. No, it is Darren Beatty. I'm sorry. Because this appeared, numerous stories appeared in Revolver. Revolver News, Revolver.news, Revolver News. I would urge everyone to read the stories about the accounts of the investigative reports of Darren Beatty in Revolver News about Stuart Rhodes. And really use that as you're listening, as you're reading, as you're researching, if that's what you want to do, understand that this template has been used. My goodness, this template has been used for many people. Go ahead and play it's like a 2-minute clip. Darren Beatty talking to Steve Bannon about Stuart Rhodes, the arrest. And by the way, Stuart Rhodes was not just arrested for like misdemeanor trespass. No, he was indicted and arrested for seditious conspiracy. So what does that even mean? I know what it means, but what does that suggest? And who was the last person to be indicted for seditious conspiracy? And why? I ask these questions with intent. It's a high bar. I've got to tell you, it's a high bar to litigate. But let's listen to Darren Beatty. Go ahead.
Obviously, it looks like a big deal. You've been calling for this guy. You said something's wrong with this. Back in June, you started writing and getting into this. Why was nothing happening? So walk us through your assessment and the great investigator who used to run the House investigator, Dave Bossie, has got some observations on this indictment.
So very quickly, because I imagine our time is somewhat limited, I want to say that I don't want the regime to trot out this headline of an arrest as some kind of ostensible debunking of the possibility that Rhodes had been protected up to this point on the basis of a relationship with the government as a kind of asset or an informant. I don't think that this arrest really dispenses with any of the pressing questions addressed in Revolver News's several investigative reports on Rhodes. I think in many ways, the arrest only intensifies those questions and signals a much more interesting dynamic than we may have anticipated. Now, just to recapitulate, some of those questions are this. Seditious conspiracy is a very serious charge. In fact, it's a rare charge. It's extremely rare to get a conviction on the basis of this rare charge. And so if the government just waited to indict Rhodes for an entire year, if they were just building their case on Rhodes for an entire year, several questions addressed in Revolver's report remain not only unanswered, but intensified. And that is, one, why didn't they search him? According to all public statements, according to all public records, the full extent of what the feds have done to search Rhodes is they took a single cell phone from him, and they did it 4 months after January 6th. So here's one of the few seditious conspiracy charges that they're building up for a year, and they don't think he's important enough to search him beyond a single cell phone 4 months after January 6th, and then give him an additional 8 months, so an entire year, to destroy any kind of evidence against him? That doesn't make any sense. Secondly, why didn't they arrest him for a lesser charge in all of this intervening year-long period? Why did they just have him go free rather than arrest him for a trespassing charge, which they absolutely could have done? There's footage of him stepping on Capitol grounds, which is a criminal offense that they've charged other people with far less of a profile than Rhodes for. And secondly, they could have charged him for the conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, which in fact is the charge that they hit with Thomas Caldwell on and various others. And if you look at the charging documents for those cases, the government bases its entire conspiracy claim on the words and actions of Rhodes. So if you take the government as its word, it could have easily charged him with trespassing. It could have easily charged him with conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding. So all of this amounts to something that's very curious and simply doesn't add up. So
doesn't add up. It doesn't. Looked at the charging documents, the indictment, which is online, and looked at the followed Darren Beatty's Revolver news stories. You can just go to revolver.news and do a search of that topic. None of this makes any sense. It doesn't. It almost seems to me like this is kind of a see, he wasn't an operative of ours. Otherwise, we wouldn't have charged him with seditious conspiracy. Oh, well, wait a second. You might have charged him with that, but you've got to prove that in court. So what did you do in the run-up to that? Well, we grabbed his phone. Really? That's the sum total of your investigative, no. There's something wrong here. In fact, there's something wrong with the entire 1-6 committee. Aside from its illegitimacy, there's something really wrong here. I'm telling you right now, everyone being brought before this committee, there's something horribly, horribly wrong. And I think the cover-up extends to the Pelosi camp and others on that side, including some of the members of the 1-6 committee. This cannot last. This cannot stand. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, this platform, me personally and me professionally, will never, ever cooperate with the January 6th committee. And there's somebody that needs to hear that out there. I'm just telling you, ain't happening. Austin Brewer from Health Masters in the wings. I want him to see this, though. The COVID narrative has fallen apart. This was posted on Twitter. Well done. Well done. Let's take a look at this as we go into the next hour, because folks, never has it been more important for all of us to really seek and have at our disposal immediate treatment. I mean, you start getting symptomatic, you better have this stuff right there and treat yourself, because whatever was released in China, known as COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2, deliberately funded, the architect of which, architects Fauci, Peter Daszak, in my view, all of these, Francis Collins, and the people running, you know, the cover-up like Jamie Farrar. Again, my view. There's something more to this, obviously. So we need to have our treatments at hand. Believe me, that includes the products that Health Masters has. But let's take a look at this. The COVID narrative has fallen apart. I would change that to is falling apart. So that creates a very dangerous situation, I would add, as well, with the globalists. Watch this.
I'm going to shut down the virus.
Look, there is no federal solution. that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
Not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
People who've been vaccinated are unlikely to get COVID.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. That's why I'm moving forward with vaccination requirements wherever I can.
Breakthrough infections.
Or breakthrough cases of COVID-19.
Fully vaccinated folks testing positive. That's going to be our new normal.
It seems that more than half of the people in the UK with the variant have been double jabbed.
Most are young people under 40 years old. Nearly 80% were vaccinated.
New concerns about the Omicron variant. A record level of children under the age of five are being hospitalized amid a climbing infection rate.
If you look at the children who are hospitalized, many of them are hospitalized with COVID as opposed to because of COVID. And they get counted as a COVID hospitalized individual, when in fact they may go in for a broken leg. So it's overcounting the number of children who are, quote, hospitalized with COVID.
If you're attacking me, you're really attacking science. I mean, everybody knows that. You're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science.
95% effective.
This is our shot.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
This is the J&J vaccine that I'll be taking. So one and done.
Americans will need a third shot.
Fourth shot, another booster.
Talk about people getting a fourth.
Four, I thought we were just talking about three. So a fourth dose, the goal being to combat the waning immunity.
Immunity wane after 6 months.
Tonight, a new vaccine that specifically targets Omicron may be just months away.
We are looking forward to be able to vaccinate all these vulnerable people.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Very well done. The link to that will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. And this, I found this as well. I don't know who did this, but I think it's very well done. This is a picture of Fauci. For the radio listeners, what you're going to see is this meme going around. This was created. I don't even know who created this, but you know, whoever did, God bless you. This is like an oil painting, if you will, of Fauci with a mask. And below... you know, putting a mask on. Now, the mask has got blood on the mask. But right below that, take a look and you see a bunch of hands reaching out, reaching up, as if from the grave, if you, you know, for the lack of a better descriptive term, based on the appearance. It's a haunting image in my view. What do you think of that? And I think that's exactly right. I think that, as a matter of fact, I think that Fauci and others have blood on their hands. I think that the people who have withheld early treatment, especially of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, and the Z-Pax and such, I think they have all have blood on their hands. And every single doctor, every single medical practitioner that has withheld early treatment, whether it's intentionally, knowingly and intentionally, or whether being just lack of researched, you have blood on your hands. And every person in the media who has pushed the same teleprompter crap, you've got blood on your hands. And you're going to be held accountable. And the doctors out there, the frontline TikToking, dancing doctors and nurses, you're going to be held accountable. If you pushed this, or if you denied early treatment, you're going to be held accountable, which takes me back to the original opening about the Supreme Court. Believe me, this is not over. I'm getting reports, and this, I want to get Austin Brewer's take on this as well. I'm getting reports that there's something going on in China right now. There's something going on. And the information I'm getting is some sort of a chimeric virus, again, combining this coronavirus platform with the Marburg or hemorrhagic fever. Can I prove it? No. I'm just hearing this. I'm hearing this. China is on a lockdown, including the biggest seaport in China, on lockdown. Just saying, there's something going on and we're not being told. And remember, this originated with Fauci and his It goes back to Enrique Kennedy's book. This goes back to his work with AIDS. It even predates that. You think that this guy's some sort of god, that he is science? Well, he is to science what Mengele was to treatment, in my view. All right, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. One word, smushed together, healthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Banner there as well. Go there. Get set up with your immune-boosting products. I mean, make sure you got it in your hands right away. Make sure you've got this. Everything. In fact, they even made a kit for you. But don't stop there. Get your ultimate multiple, or in addition to everything else, make sure you've got quercetin, that they sell that. And other products based on the protocols that have been published. Austin Brower, how are you, sir?
I'm blessed as always, Doug. Great to be on your show again. And yeah, I talked to a few different people. I know one of my good friends actually ended up coming down with the flu on Monday. And he just had the feeling of the flu, no sore throat, kind of hit him out of nowhere. And, you know, he had some Viagra and the vitamin C and the vitamin D on standby at his house. He actually hadn't even taken a lot of it. And I told him, I said, you got to take it. And so he'd gotten sick on Monday and he called me up. He's like, man, I got all this. I'm not feeling good. I said, start hammering it. So I gave him the dose. He called me up this morning. He's like, dude, I'm already feeling better, a lot better. He said, I was in bed for about 2 days, felt absolutely horrible Tuesday and Wednesday. He said, but I'm already starting to bounce up now, moving around and running around now. And I said, yeah, since you gave your body what it needed. It's so important we have precautionary measures in place. What's starting to happen, again, this is speculation on my part, and I know you've heard some of the same stuff. I've had two different sources tell me something very strange going on in China. The problem is China will never give us the full truth on what's going on. We've seen that now for years. They will never be transparent about some of the things that they've done over there. We now know exactly what you said from the Veritas report, that Fauci went to DARPA with basically the grant through the EcoHealth Alliance and tried to get DARPA to work on gain-of-function research. DARPA declined and said they didn't want to be involved in it. Then turn around to EcoHealth, ended up going to the Wuhan lab and multiple other labs to get them to work on gain of function. What's interesting about it was it says when you pull up the Veritas top secret report that came out from DARPA, it said DARPA concluded in the findings the project would violate a pre-existing moratorium on such research and noted that EcoHealth pitch, and I quote, does not mention or assess potential risk of gain of function research in the request. So DARPA even said, this is gain-of-function research. This is exactly what you're doing with it. We aren't even going to be involved in it. DARPA is already unbelievably strange as they are. This is back in 2018. So we know this has happened. And then we've seen the same study or the same leak out of Project Veritas now showing that DARPA had research back in April 2020 that ivermectin did really, really good against COVID viruses. Right there in the release, it says ivermectin identified as a curative in April 2020, works throughout all phases of illnesses because it inhibits viral replication and modulates the immune system. The most troubling part about this is, Doug, is that you and I have yelled about this for virtually 2 years now. And now literally every single thing that we researched and put out there and tried to get to the populace, every single thing we've talked about now for the last 2 years is now coming out as facts. Not conspiracy theory, not conjecture, not an opinion. It's coming out as facts now. And I think what's starting to occur in that video you played was awesome. I love that. That really right there just should wake everybody up that's not already awake, and how they lie, lie, lie. Well, then they get caught. Well, then they have to backtrack, and then they lie, 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 lie more. Now we're working on the fourth booster shot for a vaccine that doesn't work or do anything at all. We're now seeing roughly 60 to 70% of the vaccinated or the COVID cases that are coming down with are all fully vaccinated, which is not surprise, surprise. Everybody's getting shot up and making the body spike protein manufacturing sites. What do you think it was going to do? And so my theory, and this may be, you know, out there right now early on, but what I'm starting to see here now from some of the sources I'm hearing, I know you're hearing it too, something as weird is happening in China. They completely shut down the ports again, like you said. Not only is this going to cause a huge issue with supply line and supply chain problems, again, we're already running into those we've been running into. It's going to cause more issues again. But what appears may be happening is whatever virus is floating around the U.S. now is pretty much it's waning out. Majority of people that are getting sick now are catching the flu, or they're getting a common cold, or they may be getting COVID and they still barely get sick, or they get sick for a couple of days. It's not what they've tried to make it out to be anymore, especially at the beginning phase of it. So the only plausible thing that would make sense if you're a globalist that wants to keep pushing your control lockdown measures has come up with a new, even more toxic, mutated variant that may not even be COVID, but you call it COVID because we don't even know what the heck a lot of this stuff is now, if it's even COVID. They never even isolated it from the very beginning. They just told us it was SARS-CoV-2. That's what you have. And you go, okay, I believe you. That's what I have because your PCR test told me that's what I have. When in reality, the PCR test never determined if you actually had COVID. It simply picked up viral specks. If you turn the cycle rate high enough, every single person that takes a PCR test will be positive, not for COVID, but simply viral exposure. And that's what people have to realize, and what may happen in the next couple months. They may try to introduce something again here in the United States that is much, much worse. And that's why I've encouraged people, keep your immune system strong. And also at the same time, don't live in fear and do not comply with this. DC, you saw that now, starting tomorrow in DC, full vaccine mandates if you want to go into any store, restaurants, bars, bowling alleys, conferences, pretty much other than supermarkets. You're not allowed in DC anymore unless you have the injection. They're pushing this narrative and they're pushing it. And the only way they're going to keep this up is to get more people sick. Because right now, this is simply a pandemic of tests. That's all this is now. Almost everybody I know that keeps getting sick or has basically gotten a positive test, nobody is deathly ill at all. The only people that get deathly ill are the people that go to the hospital and get put on remdesivir and antibiotics and then put on a ventilator and then they check out. Or they've got three or four comorbidities and they're unbelievably obese and diabetic and they get sick and they die. But this is what's happening. Nothing we're being told right now from the mainstream media is truthful at all. You have to do your research. You have to see who started this. You had to see what the result was, and you have to see what the overall goal is. The overall goal is complete and total control over the populace to get people as subservient and dumbed down and sick as possible so they can bring in more restrictions and more requirements. I know you've seen this, and I've talked about it repeatedly, and I brought it up last year, and more people are starting to talk about it again. Finally, it was a U.S. state patent that was approved August 31st last year, calling it the Methods and System of Prioritizing Treatment, Vaccinations, Testing, and Activities While Protecting the Privacy of the Individual. And it was approved to surveil people via their digital activity, giving them a score on their potential level of super spreading activity of each person. The patent process collects wide range personal information from mobile devices, apps, social media, browsing records, payment records, medical records, employment records, government records, and surveillance cameras. It accesses and sources things such as precise location data, length of time spent at locations they visit, individuals they're around, the ventilation rate of places visited, the images of people looking at the screen on their mobile phone, if they wear a mask or not, they don't wear a mask, they're higher risk, sounds from the microphone and personal devices and discussions you talk about, facial recognition data, and the list goes on. This is patent number US 202100825-8381. You can read it for yourself. It is a full-blown dystopian nightmare that is essentially Minority Report on steroids that is going to build a profile on you to determine how highly you are to spread the virus. AKA, it has nothing to do with the virus. It has nothing to do with COVID or spreading. It has everything to do with monitoring every single facet of your life so they can issue you a score, which in turn, it says in the patent, will determine on your treatment, if you're allowed in the hospital, if you're allowed to get more vaccines. And of course, as everybody knows, this will mutate into something even more nefarious and allowing you to travel, fly, train, bus, as we've clearly seen with China. So as you see this thing continue to roll along, be aware of what's happening, but also keep your body and mind strong as much as possible, because I personally believe there is definitely something big in the works, because you're right. They have completely lost the narrative now. They can't lie up COVID anymore. The only plausible scenario is introducing something that's much, much more deadly now to the populace, now that everybody has a very strongly weakened system because of the injections that they've gotten done. That's at least my opinion right now on what they're working on.
Well stated, well summarized, and thank you for that. Yes, I totally agree with you. And we have to watch and we have to be careful. One thing I want to ask you up front here, one thing that's so important, because if this is not about public health, if this is about public control, where do these jabs fit in? Art Moore, WorldNet Daily, Art Moore did a fantastic investigative article that was published yesterday. Government data, COVID infections, deaths soar after getting the jab, okay? Now, in this article from WorldNet Daily, again, this is called from data from the Canadian province, Alberta, which confirms the figures only because of the way they tabulate the figures. Alberta, they provide, the province reports COVID cases, hospitalizations, and deaths by day after, each one by day, after the first and second vaccine doses, as they state. So as you open this investigative article up, he writes that the most recent figures from the population of 4.4 million show infections, hospitalizations, and deaths from COVID are soaring in the days and weeks after people received their first dose. And there's a trending, or there's a chart there. Number of days between the first immunization data or date and COVID-19 diagnosis. If you scroll down just a tad there, about a third of the way down, Eric the Tech, you're going to see a chart right there. Now, you look at that chart, and that shows the number of days. It's like a hockey stick with the bottom part on the left part of the graph. And that shows that, hey, immediately following, I mean, within the first, really, the first 60 days, man, there is this huge influx of death, of infection, of all sorts of stuff taking place, adverse reactions. Now, these figures support the national data from Israel, Britain, which both countries saw this all-time high after launching mass vax campaigns. And he cites Berenson. So, you know, what's really going on here? This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. The working hypothesis, and I'm going to turn this back over to you. The working hypothesis here is that the most likely explanation for that spike that you saw, folks, if you're listening to this on radio, just go to HagmanReport.com, click on the link to this article. It remains that the first dose of the jab transiently suppresses the immune system. And this is already admitted by Pfizer anyway. So they're confirming it. So why? I guess my question to you is, why the push for the jabs if they know this, if the data supports this, and Pfizer says, yeah, it does? What the hell's going on? I think we know the answer, but back to you.
Right. Yeah. My direct opinion and numerous other doctors and scientists' opinion that I have now worked with and researched with over the last 2 years, this was specifically designed to do exactly what it was doing. It was designed to be an immunosuppressant injection. It was designed to infect the body with spike protein manufacturing site RNA technology. So your body actually lowers its immune system, completely crashes it, and then you start producing spike proteins, i.e. COVID. It makes you a giant walking super spreader that's unbelievably sick. That's what this shot does in a nutshell from the actual people that are telling the truth and researching it. That is why you're seeing so many people get deathly ill after they get the shot. And I best believe probably 70 to 80% of them aren't dying from COVID. They're dying from the actual injection that is killing them. My friend that I know is a doctor out in the Midwest. He's been working in basically the emergency room, as far as they've been doing rapid testing. And he said right now, he's been watching the documentation, that he said about 95% of the people coming in, regardless if they're asymptomatic or not, 95% of the people that are testing positive have all been injected. They've had at least one injection. And he said it's very strange because you've never seen so many people come in, and majority of people, he said, aren't even symptomatic, but they're still coming in to get tested and they're still testing positive. Other people are coming in with runny noses and sore throats. They're testing and being positive. So then you have other people that are deathly ill and they're testing positive. He said this is literally everybody's testing positive, and they did not have enough rapid tests. So now they've all switched back to the PCR platforms, which he said, which is exactly what they wanted to do. Even though the FDA blatantly came out last summer and said that the PCR test is going to be revoked by December 31st because they needed something that was going to be able to differentiate between the flu and COVID. So again, you see what this whole thing, they had this prep for months in advance last year. This is why you had the bumbling buffoon say, it's going to be a dark, deadly winter for everybody. Well, it hasn't been for the unvaccinated, not according to the numbers that I've seen. Almost everybody I know that's healthy and pure blood now, they got sick, they bounced back in a couple days, and they're back at it again. Everybody I know that's gotten injected that gets sick, it's like it perpetuates on itself because you can never shake this stuff off of you. And then what they're doing is now they don't even know what to do as far as to keep more and more and more control. So now they're just coming out with these just arbitrary rules at so many places, like December, you know, January 15th tomorrow, they're going to make it mandatory. You can't go anywhere in DC without a shot. Well, the facts, the science doesn't back up vaccine mandates because the vaccine clearly doesn't work. Even the mainstream media, Fauci, Pfizer, everybody's admitted now that the thing doesn't work for crap. It wasn't supposed to. And now they're admitting it, yet people are still getting injected. And I saw an article from Vanderbilt University yesterday, and it boggled my mind the level of control that they're trying to entrain the younger generation of the universities with, which is arbitrary restrictions that make no sense whatsoever to try to force them to comply. Vanderbilt University sent out an email outlining all the new restrictions for students returning to campus. They said, fall in immediately up until January 24th. They sent this out December 30th. Up until January 24th, students cannot leave their dorm room unless it is for authorized reasons. They can leave their residence to attend in-person classes. So they can go to class with everybody else. They can pick up to-go food and supplies. They can go seek medical attention. They can perform work or research for the university. They can engage in outdoor activities like walking, hiking, and running. And students that violate these restrictions will be referred to the Office of Student Accountability and Community Standards, and swift action will be taken for any verified incident of noncompliance. The message explained that students are not allowed under any circumstances to gather in any size or engage in any in-person social interactions with anyone other than roommates and housemates. So wait a minute here. I can go to work. I can work for the university. I can go to my in-person class. I can run around outside. I can hang out with everybody in my room with me. I can pretty much do anything I need to do, but I'm not allowed to socialize with anybody one-on-one. Even two people are not allowed to talk. This, again, is setting up the mindset for a full-blown snitch police state, which I have been personally involved in at one of my old universities when I had an RA that had a bone to pick with me. This is exactly what they're doing. When you start giving children, these are 18, 19-year-old children, they have not reached concrete rational thought, you start building a platform of control where you tell them, if you see Susie walking down the sidewalk on your way to class, you're not allowed to talk to her. If an RA sees y'all two talk, he's writing you guys up and he's turning you in for community standard violations. That's exactly what they're doing here. They do not want to have in-person communication or contact any further. That was the goal from the very beginning with the mask and the restrictions. Here's why they're doing this. They want to start encouraging and forcing people to go into the metaverse. If they can start making it so boring, so horrific, so absolutely detrimental to go outside and converse with one other person, have a conversation with a girl outside, and you have to do it in private or else you're going to get written up, you simply start reaching a point to where your mind has to start having some type of outlet. Oh, well, for your safety now, you can put on your goggles, you can put on your Neuralink that Elon Musk is about to have rolled out now after their testing, and you can go in the metaverse, and you can hang out with everybody in the metaverse. It's totally safe, guys. We have approved it for COVID measures. You cannot transmit COVID in the metaverse. So if you want to get on there and Susie wants to get on there and you guys want to talk, you want to go on a date in the metaverse, you want to go have sex in the metaverse, you want to go run around, that's totally cool. You're just not allowed to do it in person because it's for your protection. It's for COVID, of course. That is exactly why they're doing this right now. And they're pushing it all over the country, universities. Vanderbilt was just one of the most aggressive ones. They do not want people to have in-person communication at all. Remember, when we can go to a parking lot or a sidewalk, or we can go to a parking bench, we can leave our phones in our room, we can start having conversations. I can say, dude, listen, this doesn't make any sense. we shouldn't be doing this. Why do we have these restrictions? And two or three other people show up. And I go, dude, is this normal? Everybody goes, no, this isn't normal. We're not going along with this. You start having people rebel against the machine, so to speak, and people start standing up for their rights. But if every phone call, every text message, every email, every social interaction is recorded on a regular basis, people become less likely to have these conversations, and they simply become complacent with the rules because it's for their protection. This is what they're doing right now, and this is why they keep pushing it more and more and more, even though the COVID narrative has completely collapsed on itself and has no more any level of existence when it comes to this lie. It's flatlined. It's done. But yet they keep pushing it. And now what they're doing with Vanderbilt, it made it so clear to me when I saw this, they're trying to make it so horrific to meet the rules of this university and other universities that people are automatically in this age category are already getting involved to go in the metaverse and tie into a transhumanism system so that people will not have that soul connection with God Almighty anymore. And they're simply going to get wrapped up in this digital world that essentially every thought is going to be whatever you want to do with it. Any debauchery, any nonsense, you're not going to have to worry about catching any diseases. You're not going to have to worry about going to jail. Everything there is going to be an open access portal to do whatever you want. Think Grand Theft Auto on steroids that you actually are in and your body feels dopamine and serotonin responses from because of the Neuralink that you can chip into your brain that Elon Musk has built. That is what they're working on. That is why it is so big, and that is why they're pushing. People aren't allowed to be able to connect with one another on a face-to-face contact anymore, Doug.
Man, I'll tell you what. Yeah, I saw something, an intern or somebody working on the infrastructure for the metaverse had filed a complaint. It was a female. She was groped. I think two actually filed complaints that they were groped in the metaverse. I don't even know how that works, but okay. all right, whatever. So... And I'm not joking about that. It was on a news blip of some kind. But so yes. I mean, this is so nefarious. I really think that people have a hard time wrapping their head around. And I know I would if this was 20 years ago. If me 20 years ago, I'd have a hard time wrapping my head around the enormity of these of what's taking place here. And I'll say this. I think I think as the narrative falls, we're going to be entering into a wag the dog situation. So I would look for false flags. I would look for all sorts of things. And I would also say this. I'm of the opinion that the family members, if I lost family members to the coronavirus, the bioweapon known as COVID-19, if I lost them where the doctors refused to give them the treatment necessary and they ended up dying, I consider the doctor, the hospital, and everyone involved in that line of treatment to be murderers. And you know what? If I can't, and this is just me talking now, and if I'm thinking this way, there's got to be others thinking this way. I'm going to get justice if justice is not gotten on my behalf or on their behalf. I'm done, okay? Just like, for example, and I'll just use this kind of digressing a little bit. There was this disclosure that you remember that subway, that woman in the subway in Philadelphia, she was raped and the guys out there, okay, instead of intervening, they just picked up their cell phones to record it, right? Did you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. This was an illegal alien. Okay, that should have been deported, but the judge didn't deport this criminal moron prior to this. That's the story. So I would be looking at that judge and saying, that son of a bitch is responsible for responsible for allowing that man to rape whoever. If that was my sister, I don't have any sisters, but if that was, I'm going to tell you right now. Okay, I would blow that son of a bitch. I would blow his head off, without any problem whatsoever, in the act. And if I'm in a car in a subway and I see that happen, I guarantee you I ain't going to be taking video. I'll be collecting the video afterwards. Give me your phone. You take video. Give me your phone because I don't want those phones to record what I did. Because I'll tell you one thing. And see, Here's the thing. If I'm thinking this way, there's got to be many people thinking this way. That's just me. So if I'm thinking of, hey, you kept treatment from my friend who died or my family member who died, I'm coming after you. I'm holding you responsible. If the courts don't do it, yeah, I'm going to. And if that's, look, I get it. Well, that's not very Christian-like. Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying. So, but see, here's the thing. Again, my point is not that. It's this. If I'm thinking this way, there's got to be a whole bunch of people out there thinking this way. Either that or we lost the guys. We lost the testosterone. You know, their sacks don't come down far enough. I don't know. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, we have lost a lot of the big men as far as the grown men, the true Americans in the United States, and a lot of the ones too, even the ones that are still men. People have become so susceptible now to political correctness because of their jobs, because of social ostracizing, because you pretty much can't say anything anymore without getting blasted. And the problem is a lot of times people don't want to do that, especially if they're in a social job position and stuff like that. So people just kind of keep their mouth shut. But I don't know. I don't remember what state that was in the subway, but I remember with the state of Florida.
Philadelphia, by the way.
If somebody in Florida, if somebody is involved in a felony act against another person to do them great bodily harm, you have 100% right in the state of Florida to use deadly force against them to protect that individual. And so a lot of times people forget that topic. If you're seeing some girl that's being violently assaulted somewhere, you better engage them. I mean, it's up to your discretion on how you want to handle it, but we can't just allow that to go on. But yet many people do, because everybody, this is the phone generation now. I loved it so much better when we had flip phones when I was in college, and you record something like, yeah, I recorded it. You go back and look at it later. It's on a little postage stamp. You're like, yeah, I think, well, no, I can't. No, my phone's only 12 pixels. I mean, I'm not really sure what's going on here, but I got it on my phone. And you remember all that. We first had camera phones and stuff. It was called potato phones. It's like recording with potatoes, not much different. And that's exactly what we honestly, it'd be nice if we have those back sometimes. I think the world would be a better place if we just went back to flip phones with basic cell phones. We could call and interact with one another instead of these giant slave trackers that everybody stuffs in their pants and gets monitored wherever they go now, especially to see patents like this other stuff come out. But no, you're exactly right. It's time that everybody starts pushing back. And the problem with it is there's so many of these beta males now that don't want to say anything. This is why there's such a push and such a want for the metaverse now. Because now people can go in there and pretty much do whatever they want with no problems. I'm a little too old for this. I still don't fully understand how this thing operates. I've been researching it for months now. I've been trying to understand. I got it with the goggles. I got it with the Neuralink. But on the other hand, too, are there no consequences? Like, you transfer funds. I know they have these NFTs now that you can do stuff with it. And a lot of it's based off cryptocurrency. But so what happens if I go in there and I go rob somebody and take all their cryptocurrency in the game? And then I log out and take my goggles off. I don't know. I don't know how this works.
Soros's DAs in the metaverse are already compromised. Yeah. So, you know, you can do that. It's okay. And by the way, folks, don't send me emails or post stupid comments underneath the video. Look, when I'm talking about retribution, okay, revenge, what I'm saying is if the rule of law abandons the law-abiding citizen, the innocent, and punishes the victims, then I'm thinking that others are thinking as well. Like, I'm thinking that, hey, why not? We're going to take matters into our own hands. What else is left? That's all I'm saying. I had to put that in there because sure as heck, I'm going to get, you know, hey, I'm turning you in to the feds for threats. And, well, you know how it goes. So, okay. Healthmasters.com, by the way, healthmasters.com, Doug5 coupon. I'm going on a limb there. Is that still active or no?
Yeah, well, it's not active right now. I'll activate it for tonight, you know, so it'll be good for Monday and Sunday and Saturday. I'll run it through the weekend for everybody. If everybody wants to stay stocked up on what they need. I know the B-Complex is on sale right now. The product of the week, the Superfood Complete. That's a really popular protein shake that we have. That's on big sale right now as product of the week. That one, though, no coupons will work on those big sale items because they're already heavily discounted, but I definitely encourage people, continue to keep your body and mind in shape the best you can right now and stay away from all these shots, man. I know so many people still, even people that I knew that I thought were going to hold their ground on a lot of this stuff, they've compromised on it. They've given in. And it's all because of the public ostracizing and the public control that they're doing with these businesses. Nike is just firing a ton of people this weekend. Well, I don't care for Nike, but they're firing a bunch of people because they're not getting the shot. Mayo Clinic just fired 700 staff across the country because they didn't take the shot. And this is why I continue to tell everybody, get your religious exemption. So many people are scared of this. I had somebody email me the other day, like, I don't really know if I want to get a religious exemption.
Why not?
Why? Well, I don't know. It's not really my belief that it's really. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, first off, do you believe the shot is okay? Well, no. Then you have a strongly held religious belief against getting it. It doesn't matter what your reason is. You don't have to have a pastor sign it. You don't have to get it signed off by a clergy. You don't get an explanation, detailed paragraphs about why you don't want to do it. I said, you have a deeply held religious belief. What your religion is none of their business. What your belief is none of their business. You have a right in this country, a right to have respect shown towards your religious beliefs. There is no, it's not a privilege. It's not, we're granting you this privilege because we're the all-powerful Oz and we'll allow you to do this if we deem so. No, I have a strongly held religious belief. Other than that, shut the hell up and leave me alone. Excuse my language. Don't bother me. I've already gone through this with dozens of people now. They send you these giant papers, all these pages, all these questions. You need to answer this, and they look at me and go, I don't know what to put on it. I said, don't put anything. I said, I have a strongly held religious belief against getting this vaccine. Here's my signature. Here's my exemption. Good night. Thanks for playing. Have a nice day. Don't answer questions. I dealt with this directly with my brother-in-law who works for that military firm and a military contractor in Texas. I told you guys about that. They sent all these pages, all this stuff. Then they wanted to do a doggone meeting with him, with an attorney on the phone. Basically, ask him all these questions. He goes, I feel very, very insulted right now. And I feel like you're bullying me and you're pressuring me. I may need to file a complaint with HR. All right, well, we don't need any more issues. Your exemption's complete. We approved it. Have a nice day. Click. Yeah, that's exactly right. Because they already know they're violating the law by simply asking you all these questions. And the problem is most people answer them because they don't know any better. Just like it says in the Miranda rights. Anything you say can and will be used against you. They don't want all that information in the paperwork. They simply want you to put, I have a religious belief, strongly held religious belief, be done with it. You give them the ammunition, they're going to use it against you. Don't comply with it. You don't have to listen to it. And nobody, I've not talked to one person yet, not one person I've helped out, that has said their religious exemption has been denied because they didn't get a pastor to sign off on it or they didn't give a 5-paragraph essay about their belief. Nobody, not one, because they can't. This is what everybody has to start doing, is using the tools in your arsenal to prevent and preserve the rule of law and our rights. If you don't stand up for your right no longer exists when you hand it to somebody. The Bill of Rights is literally nothing less than a piece of paper if you don't demand and enforce that your rights be followed. If you simply go, Second Amendment protects me. You can't take my gun. You can't take my guns. Sir, we need to have your guns. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to have any issues. I apologize. You can take my guns from me. I don't want to have any problems, man. I'm really sorry. You no longer have a Second Amendment. You relinquished that right because you did not preserve it. People have to remember that. And it's so crazy to me how many people just sit down and go, okay, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to deal with the conflict. I don't want to deal with the problems. I don't want to deal with any issues with it. I'm just going to go along to get along. Dude, another article here. Pfizer listed as the cause of death in 26-year-old autopsy. Death certificate shows after work mandated jab. Joseph Keaton, family still grieving. It's on childrenshealthdefense.org. Suffered multifocal myocarditis just days after his third dose of the experimental Pfizer injection, which the family said was required for his occupation. 26 years old, on the death certificate issued by the state of South Dakota, obtained by the defender, lists Keaton's cause of death as multifocal myocarditis involving the left ventricle, with a second cause of death listed as a recent Pfizer COVID-19 booster vaccine. right there on the death certificate. They had it listed. This stuff is killing people, Doug. It is killing people all over the country. And people can come up with all their nonsense rebuttals. You need to fact check it. That's not science. You don't believe the science. I believe the science. I'm reading the science. I'm showing you the science. You're the one that's choosing to believe non-science. When you hear Polanski the other day, she's on national television doing an interview. One of the reporters asked her, well, why are you pushing the vaccine if it doesn't work? The guy goes, I'm triple vaxxed and I still got it. And she goes, well, it's been shown by science that the vaccine prevents death. She goes, you need to understand, you have a 20 times greater chance of dying if you don't get the shot, if you catch COVID and you're unvaccinated. I went, whoa, rewind. You have a 20 times higher chance of death if you're unvaccinated. I went, I would love to see the clinical double-blind research study showing that if you don't get vaccinated, you have a 2,000% chance higher of dying from COVID other than people that don't, that have been vaccinated. I said, that is the dumbest, most cockamamie, moronic statement I've ever heard, and there is zero science to back that up whatsoever. But yet, she said it at the White House press briefing, so you know the CNN idiots are going to go, let me keep drooling on myself. I need some more Doritos and MSG. Oh, she said 20 times higher. You know what, babe? We need to go get our booster shot. I don't want to die. If we get the shot, we won't die. Let's not die. Okay, let's go. They go off and they get the third jab. And then they die. And then they're going up to heaven or hell, wherever they land. They go, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I got the shot, now I died. Man, that was a poor decision.
Just imagine how much worse that would have been had they not got the shot. I mean, seriously, it could have been a lot worse, the death. that's their rationale behind all of this. And you know, it's interesting because September 1st of last year is when they changed the definition of what a vaccine is. And they changed it. That was the second time there was a change prior to that. So, you know, by definition, that's operable. Now, you know, Fauci's BS language and word twisting. So people have to understand, look, vaccines, because some people will say, well, polio, you know, people have the polio vaccine and before school or, you know, in order to go to school, they had to show polio vaccine. Well, wait a second. First of all, that was a different type. And second of all, the breakthrough cases were not like what we're seeing today, and the adverse reactions nowhere near this. In fact, all of the adverse reactions, as you know, combined for years up through 2020, has been blown out of the water by this particular injection. So there it is. And by the way, I want to just touch base with you on this. This morning, this regime needs distractions from the domestic woes that we're seeing. I want to just touch base with you on this. Putin, according to the U.S. military, Putin intends to stage a false flag on his own troops as an excuse to invade Ukraine. This, according to U.S. intelligence sources. Just saying, look, folks, it's getting really dicey out there. Watch it, because you're going to have Russian troops against NATO forces, including some Americans over there as well. And it's about to go really bad, really quickly over in Ukraine, my view, no one else's. So there it is. I just want to touch base with you on that. Healthmasters.com. Make sure, look, you know what? The time is now to get ready, not after something happens. So don't be coughing and hacking up a lung and calling Health Masters and trying to get Health Masters and get your immune system built up now. Doug 5, D-O-U-G, the number 5. At coupon code at checkout, that's healthmasters.com. Okay, there we go. I just want to make sure I got all that in before whatever. What else is on your mind?
That's why I've encouraged so many people to stay prep. And I mean, the supplements are, you know, obviously a huge thing, but also, I mean, any other supplies you need, any extra backup water filtration, food. As you're going to start seeing now with what's going on in China, whatever's going on in China, I'm not sure fully, honestly, what's going on. But the supply chain issue is about to be another big, giant problem in the next couple of weeks and months. And that's going to be – you're already seeing food shortages all over the place. I saw an article earlier the other day, and it said the U.S. was battered by 20 separate billion-dollar weather disasters in 2021, making it one of the most catastrophic, natural catastrophes in recorded history in the United States. Now, it's interesting, when you look at a lot of those, almost all the natural catastrophes that happened towards areas that were food-growing states, primarily the Midwest and West, and a lot of it happened with that giant tornado, like 7 tornadoes hit with the Kentucky region over there, wiping out the whole eggs with the chicken farms.
Yep.
That's why you're seeing not only the inflationary rate increasing food costs, but also the products are getting harder to get. That's why you're seeing the prices skyrocket right now. That's why I've encouraged people, if you need the organic food buckets, we have those. We have the kits on multiple ones as far as you can get. We have the food buckets, the meat buckets. If you don't want to get those from me, that's totally fine. I get it. A lot of people still support Health Master and just buy their multiple or toothpaste from us. They support you as well, Doug, but I encourage everybody, please get prepped on this, because the Patriot groups that we are going to be needing and relying on as groups together, we all have to be supporting one another. You can only be so good as the weakest link in a group. If you got a Patriot that shows up, he goes, hey man, I got 100,000 rounds of 5.56 and an M4, and I'm pretty weapons proficient. That's fantastic. I will absolutely utilize your skills. But he goes, I've also got 8 family members that are with me, and we don't have any food. We have like 3 MREs. So I'll be a security personnel for you, but I have like 8 people in my family that you got to feed every day. Well, dang, bro, that's a lot of baggage you just added on to that whole thing. That's, now you're no longer an asset. Now you're a liability. Because now you may provide security and help me out, but I'm going to be burning through 15,000 to 20,000 calories a day for you and your family to eat. You know, maybe drop it down less if I want to starve everybody, 8,000 to 10,000 calories a day. That's a lot of food. You'd be pushing almost 100,000 calories a week just to feed your family. So if people each have at least a small amount of backup food, couple buckets, couple MRE cases, couple things on standby, beans and rice backed up, they at least don't have to be a liability anymore. We can work together, because food and water is always one of the most important things at any point in time in any group, is being able to feed and keep everybody hydrated. Without those two elements, you're not that effective anymore. This was what happened to Germany in World War II when they went after the Russians. They couldn't get the food. The winter was so cold. Everybody started starving and dying. This has always been a factor in every conflict. So I encourage people, stay prepped, stay strong, and continue to keep up the fight and get the truth out there, Doug.
Points well taken. And take heed, folks. Listen to what he's saying. Look, we have to, and I mean this, we must take care of ourselves first. If you're depending on your doctor, your healthcare system to do it, don't. Take care of yourself first. Also, make sure that you shoulder up with someone in your area that you can be of assistance with or for, and fight together. Because I can see this turning into a fight. I can see this going bad really quickly. And again, the time to prepare is not when you need to, not when it's obvious, but now. Now is the time. Do not wait. Especially with the wag the dog things going on everywhere and all the potential for false flags. Again, healthmasters.com, that's where to go, healthmasters.com. Link in the program description box, also on the banner, Doug5 coupon code. Austin, what else do we need to address?
Those are some of the primary things. I also, too, had somebody the other day bring up the guerrilla warfare training out of Fort Bragg in North Carolina over the next 2 weeks. And I told them they need to calm down on some aspect. It's not surprising that the U.S. military does this, but the U.S. military also has been doing this for decades and decades with special forces training. I said the U.S. military is not, in my opinion, going to be the massive force that everybody thinks they are trying to take over the country. The personnel simply isn't there, not to mention they're purging everybody with the injection. I think what's going to end up happening is the United Nations is going to be the big player, and or Russia and China together. The United States military special forces are such a small elite group trying to say, we're going to go against the military because there's a small guerrilla force and we're going to see because they're training in Fort Bragg. Is it ominous timing? Absolutely. Do I think the sky is falling because of it? No. I just want to calm everybody down on that. I had a lot of people sending me links to it. The U.S. military is going to start taking over everybody. I said, listen, if this starts going on a national scale, the U.S. military is not that big. Not to mention a lot of the special forces are not going to start firing on law-abiding citizens simply because they have orders to do so. Some of them will. Some of them will absolutely follow orders. You got to remember, a lot of those are going to be like E1 grunts that are in. A lot of these upper officers and stuff, they're already the ones that are fighting with the shot and everything else pushing back. So again, understand, Fear is the most important propaganda and most effective tool you can use to control a populace. If people are fearful about what's to happen, and they're fearful of this and that and this and that, they're easier to control and they're easier to focus in the direction that you want. So I kind of want to throw that out there and calm some people down, Doug.
Yeah, you know, look, now the landscape is different. The when I say landscape, I'm talking about the military leadership landscape is different. So yeah, I get all of that. They've been doing this, and I got emails too. Hey, they've been doing this for a lot of years. Look, I get all of that, but the mentality of, especially of the upper echelon, that's changed. However, you are correct logistically, and I think that our threat is coming from without, from outside. I'm more concerned with the actions of the Department of Justice.
In the FBI.
In the FBI, right. You're looking at, as we've seen, all of these false flags, all of these setups, you know, what happened on 1-6, on January 6th, as an FBI operation. So I can see that as a diversion to events. And I'll just leave it there. We have about 4 minutes left. I would stress to everyone, please, please do me a favor and please shop at Health Masters to get ready. I mean, look, don't wait until you're coughing up, lungs and stuff, your liver, and you feel horrible. Get prepared now. And by the way, your distiller, which is a fantastic water distiller, just makes the greatest coffee. Do this. Buy a distiller from healthmasters.com. It's one of the greatest things you can buy. You can drink the water. The water tastes great. If you want additional minerals, you can add it by drop to what you want. But the distilled water makes great coffee as well as other things. So make sure you're set up with that. I just wanted to toss that in there because I was using it earlier today and I thought, wow, I got to make sure I mention this. But so good stuff, all the good stuff. From health.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, throw it, like I said, store a couple of gallons of extra water. So if you need to make coffee or you need to have water supply, always have water supplies on backup. There's also jugs you can get, like the BPA free jugs that are plastic, 2, 3, 4, 5 gallon jugs. Having that stuff on standby with backup water, add a little bit of colloidal silver, a little bit of the aqua trace, it can pretty much keep the water forever. And you can also cycle it and rotate it as you need it. But yeah, having backup water, that's the first most primary thing that everybody always needs to have on standby for an emergency situation, Doug.
You know, exactly. And I want to add this. We have a pandemic right now of fear.
Yes.
You know, and I think you did very well talking about that. There's no antidote. There's no vaccine. There's no prevention of that. You have to get your mind right. If I'll add this, fear and stupidity. There's this pandemic of both. So, you know, having said that, I'm sorry, Eric the Tech said something. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay, thank you. Austin, thank you very much. Sorry, I was getting cues in my ear from Eric the Tech. Got to cut you loose, my friend. We're at the end of the show.
Been a blast as always, my friend. I hope you have a great weekend. Everybody stay safe and stays prepped as always.
All right, my brother. And I'm going to be ordering some additional supplies from healthmasters.com. Activate that Doug 5. We're going to be good to go. All right, brother. Have a good one.
Honestly. See you.
All right. Folks, that's going to do it for me for this weekend. I've got to tell you the fundraiser, okay? I mentioned this yesterday. I'm going to mention it again today. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be kicking off. I guess it's the 27th, Eric the Tech, something like that. I think it's on the 27th. We're going to be kicking off the special intellectual property video and I think a PDF as well. There it is right there. Exclusive content from Steve Quayle. And this, look, I've seen the pieces. I haven't seen it all put together. And if the end product is as good as the pieces, which I know it's going to be even better, this is well worth the wait, well worth any contribution. But he put a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of money into the digs that he had. and the fines that he has come up with. So, folks, right now we're focused on this. Go to HagmanReport.com, click on the fundraiser, and it'll kind of walk you through what we're doing. But do that. Pre-order for the 27th. Pre-order. There you go. Pre-order. It's going to be fantastic. All right. I want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart for all you do, for your prayers, for your support. May God bless each and every one of you. I hope you were better off after this show today. Have a good night, everyone.